Well, good morning and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. I hope you'll take along a Bible and follow along, make certain that all that is said is in accordance to God's Word. We have a lot to cover this morning, but really just one simple point that I'd like for everybody to take into consideration and to work on this week and indeed for the rest of your lives. What I want to talk about is this desire that we should have as Christians to fight against sin in our lives. Christianity is not just about praising God. It's not just about assembling together. It's not just about feeling good about having salvation. It's not just about going around and doing good deeds. Indeed, part of Christianity is focusing on removing sin. I'm sure that you're mostly aware that the Bible, the New Testament, is almost entirely written to believers. You have the book of John, which was written so that you would believe, but almost all the other books are written for the people who already did believe. They're written so that they would know more detail about Jesus whom they follow. It was written so they would know about how the gospel was spread. It was written so that those who were Christians would maintain their faith and continue on. And I was thinking about why we fight against sin, and I started looking at the reasons given within the Bible, and what I found was book after book after book details reasons not to sin. Now, those of you who have been here for a long time know that my sermon, if it is appropriate, has 3 points. And every now and then I go crazy and I add a fourth. Sometimes I get biblical and I add a seventh. And sometimes I get really biblical and I add a 12th. I cut this list down to 25. It was up in the around 40. And that was because I was being unimaginative and very strict. And by following my own rules on reasons not to sin, every New Testament book written to believers, with the exception of Philemon, 2 John and Jude had reasons not to sin. Now, if you know 2 John and Jude, you know that's really weird. It's because I have a strict rule on what I was going for. 2 John and Jude are a lot about not sinning and not falling for false teaching. But do you get the point? God spent the time to write to people like you and me to tell us why we should focus on not sinning. And I want to talk about some of those reasons. But first, let's talk about reasons why we might not fight against sin. Why we're just not going to bother with it. And we've talked about one of these recently in previous studies, in this false doctrine of once saved, always saved. It's a reason why people don't even worry about sin, because I'm saved no matter what. You know what I find interesting? People who believe once saved, always saved don't always believe it. It's a weird thing. But people who believe once saved, always saved don't always practice that doctrine, because if you talk about somebody who had faith in Jesus, sometimes they're like, oh no, that person couldn't be in heaven. I throw out the name Hitler. You know, Hitler was somebody who had declared a faith in Christ. Hitler was somebody who, as I understand it, was going after the Jews because of the way he was viewing things in regards to Jesus. And most people that I know that believe once saved, always saved, still won't accept him as going to heaven. But you know what else I find really odd? Some people who don't believe once saved, always saved, who believe that our actions do impact our salvation, that we're saved, yes, by grace, but there is an expectation on us. Some of those people don't believe their doctrine. And they actually believe once saved, always saved. And the reason why I say that is because as much as they say, yes, our behavior matters, they don't focus on it. As much as they say, yes, we must not sin, they don't even spend the time to think about what is sinful. And they just kind of assume they're saved because, well, they're saved. And so they don't believe once saved, always saved, but they practice it. And that keeps some of us from focusing on sin. What keeps us from focusing on sin? Well, also just the fact that sin's hard. It's so easy to sin. It's hard to fight. And along with that, it's hard to figure out what's sinful. You know, God's Word doesn't just list it all out for us all the time. There are important things of our times that aren't just carefully listed out. Abortion, transgenderism, pornography, drugs. You can go through the scriptures and you won't find those things specifically mentioned. It doesn't make it less sinful. It's a challenge. We have to actually figure these things out through the principles that are taught. And along with that, we have to figure out what qualifies as sinful when it is listed out. So we're told that there's filthy language. Okay, which words are the bad words? Now you have to work, don't you? You have to work to figure out which things you can and can't say. What about immodest behavior? We see that there's immodest apparel. The scriptures clearly teaches that. But then what's too short? What's too tight? What qualifies as immodest? We have to work on that. It's work to figure out what is sin. It is work to fight against sin. And then we recognize that we're saved by grace. And I don't mean once saved, always saved. But what I mean is that anybody who gets to heaven, any adult who gets to heaven, will have sin in their past. God saves sinners. So why worry about sin? What's the big deal about sin? And then no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you're going to work this next week and the week after and the week after that and however long God gives you, you won't succeed. You're not going to be perfect. So why try? Those are the reasons people might come up with for not focusing on sin, for not worrying about their behavior, for not trying to figure out everything that God has said that is wrong. But then God has given us reason after reason after reason after reason to keep on trying, to keep on fighting, and to keep on working to remove all aspects of sin from our lives. James 1 and verse 21, remove all that remains of wickedness, every little bit, every little corner, every little thought of your life. We're striving to get rid of the sin there. And I want to encourage you to do that. Now, to define what we're talking about here, we need to talk about sin just briefly. And an entire sermon could be dedicated to this. Indeed, an entire series of sermons could be dedicated to this, and perhaps someday will. But there's a whole long list of what we're talking about. Sin, disobedience, unrighteousness, wickedness, trespasses, transgressions, darkness, evil, unholiness. And the list just goes on and on and on. But really what I'm talking about is what we're trying to fight against is doing what is wrong in God's eyes and disobeying God. That's the simple message. 25 reasons. I have longer in my sermon notes. Now you'll know, Barry came up to me and said, okay, so I know you're not going to go this long, but if you're this long, I got to go early and it's not because of you. And I looked at him and said, how do you know I'm not going to go that long? I got 25 points. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, obviously. Otherwise, we would be here a very long time. But we start in the scriptures and we start looking at reasons not to sin. And if you just look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, and it gives us a list of some of the sinful things that we're supposed to be avoiding. But he gives this reason. He says, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And so he lists out some of the sins, and he says, here's why we don't do it anymore. We've already done it long enough. You have sinned enough in your life. Not to say that we're supposed to sin for a little bit and then say, well, that's enough. But to say, no matter how much you've sinned, no matter how long you've sinned, that's enough. Put an end to it. Sin is bad for us. A few chapters earlier in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, he says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. The sin is attacking who you are. It is attacking your soul. I find John chapter 5 and verse 14 to be an interesting passage in regards to this. Jesus has healed a man who was paralyzed. And when he comes back and sees that man, Jesus says to him, after Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. Why do we not sin? Because I don't want anything worse to happen to me. Here's a man who has been lame and not able to walk, been paralyzed. And Jesus is saying, sin will do something worse to you. And you've seen it, haven't you? Haven't you seen how sin has absolutely destroyed families, destroyed countries, destroyed individuals, destroyed lives? Sin causes bad things to happen. That should be enough reason for us to quit, for us to work against it. We should be fearful of sinning. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20 says, those who continue sinning rebuke in the presence of all, so the rest also will be fearful of sinning. And so there should be this fear. We should be worried about being called out about it, about being identified as it. In 2 Peter 2 verses 7 through 8, sin should not entice us, but it shouldn't torment us. And this is the example of Lot. When he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, he gives us this example. 2 Peter 2, verse 7 through 8 says, if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. If we're what God wants us to be, we aren't supposed to be enticed by sin. We're supposed to be disgusted by it. Why shouldn't we sin? Because sin is an unimaginable insult against God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Now, if you look at the context back up to verse 26, this is those who go on sinning willfully. And through that process, they're taking Jesus and saying, you are nothing more than the road underneath my feet to be trampled upon. This blood which you shed on the cross that sanctifies and cleanses is filthy and unclean. And this grace, this Spirit of grace, I insult you through sin. We should not sin because we should really fear God's response. In that same context, he goes on in the next verse, verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He goes on in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, and he talks specifically about marriage and about the sexual relationship. And he says, God will judge fornicators and adulterers. And we shouldn't do it because God will judge it. His response is something that should make us every day say, I don't want to do that. I want nothing to do with these things that God is so clearly against. God has created us for a purpose, and sin is simply not it. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. That's our purpose. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 13. Our body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. That's not why we're here. That's not, you're failing to be what God wants you to be. We should not sin. We should fight against it because sin is not proper for the saints. In Ephesians 5 and verse 3 is similar concept. You would find that a lot of these have crossover in the concepts. But he says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not be even named among you as is proper among saints. We should not sin because sin is not God's will for us. We saw that earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4. You go up a few verses, verses 3 through 4, and it's not his will that we sin. So it's not our purpose. It's not his will. Quite simply, we're told not to. That's why we shouldn't sin. John 5 and verse 14, Jesus looks at a man and says, go and sin no more. We saw that already, so that nothing worse would happen to you. In John 8 and verse 11, when there's that woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, be careful who you lay your hands upon. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself free from sin. It's what we're supposed to do. Number 11, why we should fight against sin. Because God's grace teaches me not to sin. I find that fascinating. So many people think that it doesn't matter because we're saved by grace, when quite the opposite. The grace itself teaches us, don't sin. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, he says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. If you want to see a similar thing, you can go to Romans chapter 6 and you can look at verses 12 through 14 where it says that since we are not under law but under grace, we must not let sin master us. I will not be mastered, not by sin. Why do we not sin? Because number 13, because God deserves better. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You might notice that word spiritual in the footnote is literally your reasonable This is what God deserves. He deserves a holy life, a life without sin. So that's what we should strive for. We should strive for it because that's what God is. He is holy, so we should be holy. We should do it because we are going a different direction. That is, I am busy trying to become a new man. I can't then hold on to that which is an old man. That's what we had read for us this morning, Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10, where he says, I want you to put all this stuff aside. He lists some sins. He's already listed more sins. But he's doing it all because we are new creatures, new people. Number 16, why should we not sin? Because I live for God rather than for the lusts of men. So 1 Peter 4 and verse 2. We've already looked at 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. That was where we started. We talked about the time is already sufficient. He begins that in verse 2, so as to live the rest of the time of the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We've dedicated ourselves to serving Him. Okay? Romans 6 verses 2 through 4. Why should we stop sinning? Because we died to it. That specifically points to the time of our baptism. Our baptism is a burial into Jesus' death. It is us dying to sin. How then can we live in it? I do not wish to sin. I wish to fight against it because I do not wish to deny God. Titus 1 verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. No matter how much we sing and praise God today, no matter how heartfelt we put into our songs of praise to Him and how we know Him, if we then go through our life and we don't focus on sin and getting rid of it, our actions are nullifying our songs. We are denying Him through our sins. We should not sin because we do not wish to fall away from God. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 encourages us that not only worry about this in regards to ourselves, but in regards to one another. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Number 20, because I do not want to be worse off than I was before I was saved. Think about that for a moment. That condition you were in before you had Jesus, that condition in which you had no grace, no forgiveness, no hope, no light, in which you were corrupted by sin and doomed to eternal damnation, you could be worse off than that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 talks to believers and says, now that you have believed, if you go back, that's worse. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. Your situation could be worse if we don't focus on our life. And the last five that we're going to consider for this morning. Number 21, because sin entangles us and keeps us from finishing the race. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us to run the race with endurance, but first to set aside the sin which so easily entangles us. You don't finish the race. You don't get to heaven if you let sin tangle you up. Because sin makes us an enemy of Christ, and we could add to that, sin makes us an enemy of God. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. 23, because if I practice sin, I don't have fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Romans 1 verse 32 goes through this long list of sins. And then at the end says, they understand, and you should understand, that all of those who practice such things are worthy of death. And probably if I'd asked you, why do you not sin, or why would you fight against it, you would come up with the last one, and that is, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And that is indeed mentioned. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. says, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." And there are multiple other passages that could be listed there. But did you see that that was a more creative list than just, we shouldn't sin because we'll go to hell? Reason after reason after reason God has been giving to us, putting it in our heads, putting it into our book so that we will read it and study on it and meditate on it so that we'll get this concept. This week, I need to care about how I live. I need to recognize that I can do things that are wrong. And I need to figure out what those things are. And I know that some of those things are really, really hard to overcome. And I get tired of trying. But try I will. I will continue to fight. I will continue to work. I will continue to purify my life and to remove all sin from it. There's the reasons. I gave you 25. I have 10 more in my notes, and I told you I wasn't being very creative. If you start combining verses, if you start looking at more, there's a plenty more implications. But I really did feel like 100 points probably would be a bit much for you. So 25. Even when Paul wrote letters that weren't rebukes, such as the book of Philippians, he reminded them to watch out for sin. And it's in that passage that he says that it makes you enemies of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we've got our work cut out for us. Let's not forget it. It's not all easy. I recognize that you have to look within scriptures and you have to study it to figure out what is sinful. And then you have to meditate on it to think how it applies. And then you have to work to remove it from your life. But let's do that for the sake of our Lord and for the sake of our souls. If there are any here who are not Christians, you cannot remove sin. You can get rid of all of the sin in your life. You could somehow miraculously do something that none of the rest of us in here will accomplish. You could get rid of every single sin and never sin again in your life, and you will still fail because you won't have gotten rid of the past sins. They're still staining you. They're still condemning you. You need to get rid of them. And there's only one way to do it. And that is through the blood of Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins. You need that blood. And the Bible teaches us how to get it. We read in Acts chapter 2 what we're supposed to do. That we're supposed to repent. And we're supposed to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of our sins. If you're ready to get rid of your sins, I suggest you do that. Right now, this morning. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, if you're a Christian, you've given in to sin. You've just allowed it to fester in your life. You can have that removed too this morning by the promise of God that if you confess, He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. You will not hear a better offer today. So won't you come as we stand and as we sing.